Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Why do you me like you do now? When you know how much I love you, and you don't seem to love me like you used to, baby.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Imagine for a moment that you're a soul or funk musician living in Little Rock, Arkansas during the 60s or the 70s. Maybe you want to make a record. Maybe you have a record and want to sell it. Well, back in the 60s and 70s, there was one guy you needed to know. Lee Anthony. He opened Little Rock's first black-owned record store and later launched a record label there called True Soul Records. And that label is the subject of a new two-volume compilation of rare funk and soul songs. It's called True Soul, Deep Sounds from the Left of Stax. And joining me to talk about it is Eothen Alapat of Now Again Records, who put out this new set, and Lee Anthony of True Soul Records himself. Guys, welcome to both of you.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Thank you, John. Me too.
Lee, let me start with you. Eothen calls this CD set True Soul, Deep Sounds from the Left of Stax. Now, there in Little Rock, you were about 150 miles west of Memphis, where Stax Records was, you know, producing Otis Redding and Isaac Hayes and Booker T and all of that. How much did you know of what was going on in places like Memphis and Nashville?
Well, actually, in the beginning, I knew very little what was actually going on, but I started off in 1966 with a record store.
This was Soul Brothers Records was the name of the store, right?
Right, Soul Brothers Record Shop in Little Rock. And the first day I was getting ready to open up my record store, I went to Sam Phillips' studio looking to see if there was a wholesale outlet. And, of course, he was there, and we talked, and he sent me to his brother. So I met his brother, so from then on, I would just kind of stop in and say hello to him and knock. And then he was looking for musicians to start for a new label he would start, and we kind of struck up a relationship, and I was to kind of look out for talent, become a talent scout for his label.
Huh.
That was how I started. And that was where I first met, brought Thomas East, and at that time it was Thomas East and the Playboys.
Mm-hmm. That's who we were just listening to a moment ago, Thomas East at the beginning of the segment.
Mm-hmm, right, right.
But you eventually end up recording him on your own label. So you went from talent scout to being, you know, the grand poobah yourself.
Well, it sort of evolved. It didn't evolve the first year. I kind of had some experiences with a label out of Chicago, which was Tyler in Town Records, with the Lena brothers, Arnie Lena and his brother. It was a small label, and they were just really interested in Thomas East and his voice, and they immediately decided to ask us if we wanted to come in and do a record. So, of course, I jumped at the opportunity. I spoke with Mr. Phillips. He said he was still in the process of putting a Holiday Inn record label together, so if I saw an opportunity to go ahead and take it. So I left with his blessing.
Lee Anthony would then go on to create True Soul Records, and many years later, Eothen Alapat, you found out about True Soul Records. How? Through a record or something else?
Well, yeah, through a series of records. I mean, Mr. Anthony just referenced the Thomas East and the Playboys record on Todlintown, I Get a Groove. And when I was going to school in Nashville, Tennessee, there was a shoe store which turned into a record store when the Lawrence brothers decided to trade shoe inventory for records in the 70s. And somehow they ended up with hundreds of copies of the True Soul Press of Funky Music by Thomas East. So I knew the I Get a Groove record. I knew that this must have been the same musician, but here was this crazy hand-drawn label. It just attracted my attention, and of course had Funky in the title.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to buy the record. I bought the record and listened to it, and you know, it blew my mind.
Well, let's actually hear that tune from Thomas East that blew Eothen Alapat's mind, and which now appears on True Soul, Deep Sounds from the Left of Stax.
All right, fucking music, show is good, ain't it good, it can make you move, dig it, like you know you should now,
stay on beat now. Funky music, show it bad, baby. Back it happy when you feel it sad. Funky music, show it nice now. When you feel it low, makes you feel alright. Don't you dare be ashamed, baby. Get out on the floor. Do your own thing.
That's Funky Music by Thomas East from the Little Rock, Arkansas label True Soul, founded by Lee Anthony, who's with us on the phone, and now reissued by Ethan Allapatt's Now Again Records on the CD called True Soul, Deep Sounds from the Left of Stacks. Ethan's with us from the studios of KPCC in Pasadena. And Ethan, it strikes me just that it may have seemed like a ridiculous question when I asked you if you found out about True Soul through a record. But the fact is, some people knew about True Soul records not through a record, but through cover art, right? The DJ Shadow album from 1996, Introducing?
Yeah, man. I mean, Shadow, of course, you know, being a amazing and an amazingly deep record collector, had visited Soul Brothers Record Store in the early 90s. He was one of the first people, you know, from our generation, I think, that was there specifically looking for the regional records that were put out in Arkansas, specifically Mr. Anthony's own. And there was this business card in the gatefold to Introducing, and at one point, you know, kind of confounded by what we'd heard about all these amazing records that came out on True Soul and what we could find, which was next to nothing, mm-hmm. we just decided we would go drive to Little Rock and try to find Mr. Anthony.
And Lee, when you first met Ethan and his cohorts, what did you think?
Well, at that time, I wasn't exactly sure what to think, you know. I know that there had been some other things that happened at my store, and I had just closed it when I met him. And he was there with some other gentlemen looking for someone that knew something about the story of it, and they came to my house. And I just thought it was somebody that wanted to buy some records. People would call me and say they want to buy records. I had closed the store. But when he started talking about my label specifically and some things they were doing some research on, and, of course, you know, because he knew so much about the label, I knew he had to be very serious about it. So I didn't have any problem with talking with him.
Well, in the liner notes for this first volume of True Soul Records, Ethan writes about you showing him the treasure chest. What was the treasure chest?
I think that was a trunk of funk.
Of funk?
The names just get better, right?
Ethan, how could you not write that? Treasure chest is not...
Well, you know,
it was an old trunk that I put all the True Soul 45s in. You know, basically, you know, people around Little Rock, they knew about the musicians, so it was no big thing for them to buy the record. So usually we would put the records in out and just kind of mix them in with other records. We would sell a few, but then when they weren't selling, we'd get new inventory in. I would put them back in this trunk, and when inventory would get low again, I'd bring them back out to kind of swell inventory, you know what I mean? So when the store was closed, they were still in this trunk, and so Ethan said he was looking for some True Soul product. And when I opened up the trunk, there are all the True Soul 45s, assortment of all kinds of stuff. And we kind of laughed about it being the trunk of funk.
I do recall the trunk of funk moniker coming a bit later, because I remember early on, man, you called it a treasure chest. I would have remembered trunk
of
funk.
Yeah, that's
a
pretty...
It may have been a treasure chest, but I know anyway, Ethan, we opened it up, and he just, that was just exactly what he was looking for. And it was a number of visits back and forth after that, but... it might have been some I had on the wall. I remember taking them into the old record shop, and I had lots of them just hanging on the wall, and we went through those. It was at a time and a period when, you know, I had just kind of given up hope for anybody ever really doing anything with the label. And this young college guy come through here with all this knowledge, and I'm just amazed at how he knows so much about this little small label. I had not met anybody that had as much knowledge about different labels and different artists as Ethan knew at that time.
Nice.
And still, I say he's a walking music encyclopedia. He's very
well, he is now because he's got all of the stuff, apparently. And it's, we're talking about this CD set called True Soul, Deep Sounds from the Left of Stax. Volume 1 is out now, Volume 2. Ethan, this will eventually be 2 CDs and 2 DVDs, is that right?
And a 4-LP box set.
And
yes.
A 4-LP box.
Ethan
Alapatz with us from the studios of KPCC in Pasadena. Lee Anthony is in Little Rock, where True Soul was located, is located. And that treasure chest, that trunk of funk, yielded lots of classics, like this regional one called Hard Times by Classic Funk. Classic Funk and a track called Hard Times, which appears on the CD True Soul, Deep Sounds from the Left of Stax, and that is from Volume 1. Once again, Ethan Alapat, the founder of Now Again, is the record label specializing in reissues of rare and unreleased music, and he's with us, and so is Lee Anthony, who founded the label True Soul out of his Soul Brothers record store in Little Rock, Arkansas. And Lee, you told us you started the record store first in the 60s, and then shortly after that, you know, the record label grows out of that. You're making all these recordings through the 70s. What happens in the 80s? Do things sort of dry up for this sort of music?
Well, actually, the disco movement started, and things did change, and musicians, bands start breaking up, and clubs start hiring DJs to play music, and the beat changed, and so a lot of things changed. And during that period in time, I think I just kind of was waiting for the disco music to just kind of pass through as a fad, and it didn't pass through.
Mm.
It stayed around for a while.
What about hip hop?
Well, the hip hop, it was a little, I think it started up the early part of it when Sugar Hill Gang, the label, the Sugar Hill label, came up, and we were selling that. And New York sort of was the place where everything started with the hip hop. So
right.
Memphis didn't really get into it, so we weren't influenced by it in this area. So a lot of the bands and the club owners bought into it, so therefore we just kind of just had to wait it out.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned before that, you know, when Ethan first showed up in Little Rock looking for you, that at that point you had closed the store. What happened?
That was 1998 when the store closed. Actually, what happened, I think on October 10th of 1988, three young men came into the store, and they was looking for some hardcore rap. The Ghetto Boys, Two Live Crew, I remember that, I'm not exactly sure what the third group was, but I didn't carry any of those in inventory because they were a little too hard for me to play in the store because we had to speak outside.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, I told them I didn't care and I could send them to another store. They became a little irate about it and left, and when it came back, the guy pulled a gun, and I thought, it was an attempt to rob me, and the only thing I could do was throw up my hands. And, of course, the other guy gave the order to shoot me. And so they proceeded to make arrangements to do whatever they were going to do, and it was brought up in daylight in the afternoon. So we struggled, and, well, I didn't just really struggle when he put the gun between my eyes, and I had no other choice of just self-defense mechanism took over. I wasn't trying to keep the money. I just didn't want to. I know I wasn't going to survive a gunshot injury right between my eyes, so I just fought to survive. And in the process, I ended up, I was shot and injured pretty badly. And during the time I was injured, I'm told, and I heard that there were a number of reports went out that I had passed away from the injury. And there were a number of people thought that I did. But I spent another, a year in rehab after that. And just in and off and on trying to learn to walk again. And I think during that time is when Ethan came through and did a story about my business. He came to my house, he and some other gentlemen that was with him. And I shared the things that had happened. And, of course, we struck up a friendship. And I don't know, over a period of years, we kept up with each other, and he would ask more and more about different records that I didn't have, and I sent him to a friend of mine that had worked at the store who had a lot of the records. And of course, Ethan was persistent, and he wrote this article, had an article published in Big Daddy magazine in England, I think it's from England, and there were so many people started calling and asking about records, and it was just a snowball of people. And then there were other companies then started talking with me about releasing it. I had given it some thought, but I just, you know, I had spoken with Ethan about it, so something wouldn't allow me to make a deal with anybody else. So I just kind of waited for him, and I don't know another person. Now, you're hearing this alarm. That's, I'm at school, so that's what's happening. But,
well, now, Lee, I did want to ask you about that. Your day job.
My day job.
Yeah, what is your day job?
At Little Rock, and my principal would never forget it. She would be offended if I didn't say I worked at Little Rock Central High.
Which is?
Which is... It's the only high school that's on the National Register. It was a school from 1957 where we had the Little Rock crisis in Little Rock. And I don't want to frighten Ethan, but, you know, Central High is on the same street that I live on Park Street. And right down the street, right across in front of my house where Ethan came to visit with me, there had been a drive-by on a bicycle of my neighbor a few months earlier. It was pretty rough for a while, but it's leveled off now, of course, but when he did come there, I knew he had to be bold. Mm. Now, this man must not either be from here or have a lot of courage.
And Ethan, when you first, you know, went looking for Lee, did you think you were chasing a ghost? Had you heard rumors about him being shot and killed?
Yeah, and when we first got there, every indication was that those rumors were correct. I mean, we were literally going into gas stations and small businesses asking, you know, where's Soul Brothers Records? You know, where's Lee Anthony? And it wasn't until we went into the soul food restaurant next door, Yancey's Soul Kitchen, and we got motioned to the back and spoke to Mr. Yancey. He's like, no, he's not dead, and he lives on this street. You should go talk to him, you know.
Yeah.
It kind of felt us out and realized that, you know, we must have been there for some correct reason. You know, there was no reason for you know, four young, you know, college kids to be hanging around a shuttered record store asking about its owner.
Well, so it all worked out, and the result is this this compilation called True Soul, Deep Sounds from the Left of Stax. And Ethan, I mean, are there other regional scenes like Little Rock that are still lying undiscovered? You know, if it happened in Little Rock, did it happen in Springfield, Missouri, or Baton Rouge, Louisiana, or Birmingham, Alabama?
Certainly. And I feel like, you know, a lot of the anthologies that are put out that focus on these regional scenes are done by, you know, labels that don't really take the care to dig into the story behind the music. You know, I've seen a lot of compilations that came out. You know, you mentioned Baton Rouge. I've seen a series of compilations come out that tried to tackle Baton Rouge. And I've been to Baton Rouge many times, and I've spoken to the people at Buddy Stewart's Rock Shop, and I've found all the records that were released there by bands like the Herculoids. And I would love to know a little bit more about their stories, more than the oral history that I was able to gather myself. Unfortunately, not a lot of labels take the time, because it takes a lot of time, effort, and true passion to dig into this scene. I mean, when we were working on this True Soul anthology, like Mr. Anthony said, it wasn't as if all of the information came from Mr. Anthony. Mr. Anthony had to say, you know, go speak to Joe Coleman. He used to work at my store. He might have some records. Joe had some records. Joe said, go speak to Don L. Edwards. Don L. Edwards actually released this record. and speak to York Wilborn about his Psychedelic Six. York Wilborn introduced me to Ren Smith. Ren Smith put out a 45 with Lee Anthony. This took place over a period of 10 years.
Mm-hmm. And all of these...
I had to hold it, you know, all you know, of these day jobs together. You know.
Some pretty remarkable photos. Some of the get-ups from back in the day are a lot of fun to see in the photographs that are in the CD booklet. But the full story of how Ethan Allapatt found Lee Anthony and uncovered this treasure trove of great sounds from Little Rock, from True Soul Records, is in this CD compilation called True Soul, Deep Sounds from the Left of Stax. We've been speaking with both Lee Anthony and Ethan Allapatt. And guys, it's really great to have this music in a form where we can all hear it. Thanks for sharing it with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
It's a great pleasure, man. This is amazing music. I'm just glad that everybody cares about it so much.
Lee Anthony and Ethan Allapatt, my guests on Soundcheck. Little Rock's John Craig and the song Doing My Own Thing, just one of the songs that appears on the two-volume set True Soul, Deep Sounds from the Left of Stax. Up next, a little more soul, this time from New York-based singer Charles Bradley. We'll hear his recent performance in our studio.